All right, we are growing and growing and growing, growing in the use of time, growing in everything. So that's wonderful. We will be growing into a bigger facility, as you know, and that's wonderful. So let me just come to the word I've got here. I'm reading from James chapter 3, verse 13 to 18. So if you have your word with you, please turn there. I'm going to read from the ESV today because I lost my Bible last week when we went to Marysville. Who is wise and understanding among you? But by his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly and spiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy, good fruits, impartial, and sincere. And the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Father, as we come to study your word, I pray that you open our hearts to receive your word and to understand what it is about. Help me to expound on your word today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Last week we talked a little bit about words that are coming out of the heart. And I mentioned that a man and a woman's heart is deceitful. We are first deceived by our own hearts, and then we go out and deceive other people. And it's not only some, but everyone in the world is like that. Can you imagine living in a world where we continue to deceive ourselves and deceive others? It would be like a zombie world, in which you are deceived, I'm deceived, you're walking, you think you're doing the right thing, you're doing the perfect things, the glorious things, but you're not, and I'm not, and everyone is like that. It is like we are living under a cloud of darkness, and we don't even have consciousness of living in that. And so that reminds me of Paul's words in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, where he said, when people say peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly. I feel like on the surface there are peace and there's safety. There seem to be everything that we need. But down below, there's no foundation. And I think that is exactly where we are. That is exactly where this world is going through. Let me just give you a couple examples of why I think that is. There's so much success in our world today. Technological inventions brings great prosperity in all parts of the world. We grown out of Western dominance, and now we have European dominance, American dominance, South America, East Asia, and South Asia. There are many ways for people to make money in all places. The number of billionaires just multiply and continue to multiply. International companies are everywhere. There's no boundaries to where they make money and where they go. And you can buy anything anywhere in the world today if you just go and look. Yet at the same time, there are more homeless people, more hungry people, more poor people, more refugees, more crimes, more uprisings, more corruptions, and more killings. Dr. Ravi Zacharias said this, that the killing in the last 20th century, the 20th century, was more than all the previous 19 centuries combined. Now we can look into that and say these two forces in society will cancel each other out. There will be a prosperity burst, the burst of the bubble, not just only in America and in some part of the world, but that burst will take place, and that is when people are saying, peace, peace, and safety. And then suddenly, destructions come. The text that we read today give me two points to talk about. One is that man is created in the image of God, and we are endowed with wisdom, and we will continue to seek wisdom and bring out wisdom out of our lives. But that also lead to this envy. This also lead to this self-ambition that we just walk right into the trap that the enemy set in front of us. And I think that is very scary. Human beings are created in God's image. God is the creator. So the people that God created are very creative. Creativity is part of what mankind is. We want a better car, we want better house, we want better education, we want better church, we want better way to work, better way to cultivate the ground, and so on and so forth. The desire to make things better is from God. And here James said, let us show our wisdom by a good life and by the good work that we bring out in meekness of wisdom. The question is, what is meekness of wisdom looks like? In your NIV, it might be meekness that come or humility that come from wisdom, but the Greek word is really meekness. So what does meekness of wisdom look like? This is what I understand. Jesus is the wisdom of God. Meekness is the manner in which Jesus came to earth. And we can study the life of Christ, but let me just summarize a little bit on one section of the Lord Jesus' life. As he coming into Jerusalem, where he will receive the authority, the throne to rule over heaven and earth, he came on the back of a donkey. And a donkey is a very lowly animal, very humble animal. And if you sit on a donkey, your feet are touching the ground, just almost touch the ground. It doesn't run very fast, and all the children can run around you and before you and this and that, and they rub against Jesus and this and that. And that's how Jesus came to receive his throne in Jerusalem. The Son of God was always approachable, down-to-earth kind of son. And he was. And he is. And so we see here in verse 17 that he come with purity, he come with peace, and he come with sincerity, mercy. All these things are what Jesus come with. That is the image that God wants us to receive. That is the kind of wisdom that is from heaven. We can imagine then how a meek person is like in practice. You know, I can imagine a child, a meek child, with a wonderful toy. And his friends see this toy that this meek child has and said, oh, I want that too. And this meek little child would say, maybe you can talk to my mom and my dad and see if they can give one to you or buy one for you. I can imagine a meek man having a brand new car, and his friend saw him with this new car. Oh, I love one just like that. And this meek guy would say, you know, I will help you get one like that. I can imagine a girl who's very meek with a beautiful dress, and her friends come and say, oh, a lovely dress. I want one just like this. And she would say, you know, I can take you to the store to buy one just like this. That is the meek person is like. So meekness out of wisdom show us that you are to give freely your advice of whatever you have to others, just like the Lord Jesus. I remember the word of the Lord Jesus as he taught the disciple on preaching the gospel to the nations, and Jesus said, freely you have received, freely give. Even if the disciples had left everything, that means learning about discipleship, learning about the way of heaven, cost them everything in this world. Jesus said, even though it costs you everything, all the money you have, all the saving you have to get this, and now you have received it, go and give it freely to other people. Some might say, be tempted to say, well, Pastor, you say that, but I did not receive my education for free. See, I have paid a bundle for it. I pay for this, and it's very expensive. So I should be able to ask for a fee, right? I think humanly speaking, we are in this mode, this philosophy in which it is okay to charge a fee. But the Bible has never said God allow us to charge someone. So that fee comes from somewhere, somebody that is not of God. James said, this worldly wisdom, this worldly philosophy that we live in is human philosophy. It's out of the human psyche that it brought out. But the same philosophy that we are talking about here is demonic. So charging someone for the fee, or the original idea of charging someone fee, does not originate with God. Originate with man, originate with the demons, with Satan. Well, you can say, well, Pastor, as we move to the second point, as I charge a fee, I don't see the demons anywhere. I don't see demonic practice in that. Well, let me see. I can show that to you a little bit. The common threads of this human philosophy or this worldly philosophy are envy and self-ambition. When we see someone has something and we want it for ourselves, there's envy. And that envy can be so bitter that you get angry. If the person has, why can't I have it too? I want it too. That's envy. And this envy is not from God. This envy is from the devil. It originated with Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember? God has everything. And the enemy came to Adam and Eve and said, if you eat this forbidden fruit, you will be like God. See, the temptation there is that you are not like God. You should be like God. And because you are not like God, you want to be like God, and the way you will be like God is to eat what God prohibits. So we understand that it's envy. Satan plant envy in their heart so that they want to be like God. We can talk about our day today, the envy that we have. I'm going to work so hard so that I will have money to buy that, whatever that thing is. Or you could say, I'm going to study very hard so that I achieve this status, this degree, and I will do this. The ultimate point is that I am envy with something, with someone, and I want to be with them. But then once you get there, the enemy said, that is not enough. Not enough just to have the same car like they have. Not enough to have the same house like they have. No, you should be their envy. You should be the one that they look up to. You should be the most ambitious. You should be on top of all your peers. You should be the one they come to. You should be the one they worship. You know, that is selfish ambition. So envy leads to selfish ambitions. And these are the two that James said here. They are part of this worldly philosophy that we live in. And this worldly philosophy doesn't affect just some. It affects the whole world, everyone in this world. You probably remember, I remember my dad say that. I remember my mom say that. I remember this leader say that. After all, we want to be great America. We want to be the greatest. Remember, our teachers, our leaders are saying that to us. God speaks of this earthly wisdom with symbols. The symbol, the prominent symbol of this philosophy is the Great Babylon. Babylon is the name of a city. Babylon is a woman, a figure that is feminine in the Bible. But you read about Babylon and you think, what is that? Maybe that is a symbol of Satan or something. No, it is the human philosophy, is worldly philosophy. If you remember the book of Proverbs, you go through there and King Solomon's talk about wisdom and this, and wisdom turned out to be a lady until the end of the book of Proverbs. The prominent lady there is the personifications of wisdom. Now that same figure is here in a negative term. It's called the prostitute, the Babylon, the mystery of all. Babylon, this term, God put this label on people's mindset. That mindset was found in Genesis chapter 11, verse 4, where the people said, let's come together and let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reached to the heaven. That means to God, right? So that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the earth. And God came down and God destroyed that and God put a name over it. And that name is called Babel. Babylon. It is not a name human put into it, but it's a name, that a label that God put on it. God said, I'm going to label this Babylon, this idea that you're going to reach up to heaven, you're going to be like God, you're going to be worshiped. That idea, God put a label on, and it's called Babylon. And from there on, when God talked about Babylon, that is the idea God keep talking about. And coming to the end, God will destroy Babylon. Babylon will fall. You read that in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. But before I go there, let me just summarize here. Let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens. What does it sound like? Sounds like two things that we have learned. One is Satan saying to himself in Isaiah 14:14, where he said, I'm going to go up and sit on the throne of God and be like God. That's the first thing that Satan said to himself, and that brought his downfall. And here we also remember Adam and Eve in the garden and said, we're going to eat this food so that we will be like God, and that brings their downfall. And humanity are grasping to this idea, we will be somebody, we will be sitting at the head of the table, we will be worshiped, people will come to me. That idea is everywhere, every home, in every heart. I've been saying that to my kids all along. Until God said, you just perpetuate the wisdom of this world. Now, if you turn to Revelation chapter 17 and 18. Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 15 tell us that this lady, Babylon, is sitting on all the waters, or on many waters. And who are those many waters? The angel interprets the people, multitudes, nations, and language. And sitting on is the sign of having control over. This idea, this lady is sitting on top of it. And the way she appealed to people of the world, we see that her message, that's in verse 4. She wore purple scarlet clothes. What do those refer to? They are signs of kingships and powers. And what else? She had with her gold and precious stones and pearls. What are those? They're signs of the wealth of this world. And what is on her hand? The ability to kill people for whatever you want. And look at that, verse 3 and verse 7. She ride on a scarlet beast. Who is that? You read chapter 17 and you know that it's interpreted to you, this is Satan himself. So she's not sitting on them, she's riding on them. What is the difference on the beast, riding on the beast? Riding on is receiving power. The beast is lifting you up and giving you the power. So James is not telling us something hidden. James is telling something that is in Scripture, that this idea, this philosophy that he's talking about, the worldly philosophy here, is not from man. It is from this beast and is giving us a philosophy, and this philosophy is captured by kings and rich people and all people of the world. And we understand that when this Babylon falls. In chapter 18, we will see that the kings are the first one to cry and say, oh, my God, Babylon has fallen. All the power, all the wisdom that I have as king have ever used is no longer valuable. And then follow the kings will be the merchants and the people who made money in this world. They will weep and they will mourn. And follow the merchants will be the workers who made their lives out of that. And then follow that, the last group of people are the people who entertain people here on earth. You can see how widespread this philosophy is, that you need to be first, you need to get there, you need to be like them, or better yet, to be above them all. Have you recognized that philosophy in you? It is in you, it is in me. So what is James talking about here? That, yeah, recognize that philosophy. Don't hide it. Confess it. That's how you will live your Christian life. Know that you have this philosophy. Know that your parents gave you this philosophy. Know that this world teach only this philosophy, and then confess how this philosophy is holding you bondage. Confess it. Bring it to the feet of the Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, I abide to this philosophy. I live with this philosophy. This is the rule of my life, rather than the rule that you provide, rather than the wisdom that you have given me. I have lived my life always with this wisdom. And today that I know it, I want to surrender it to you. And please remove it from me. Break it. I don't want to be slave to this anymore. And ask Jesus to come into your life, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the ruler of the universe and of this world. He is the wisdom of God. And when Jesus comes into your life, he will give you peace, and he will give you the wisdom how to live in accordance to God's way, which is found here in verse 17. And what do you do with this desire in you to be creative? This desire to make things better. What do you do with that? You still have it. God is not taking that away. Jesus is not removing that from you. But that creativity that you have in your life will be used to glorify God, to build up his kingdom, to build up your relationship with people. That is the beauty of what God created you and me for. So let's stand and pray.